no dejaremos que cierren la linda puerta que siempre ha estado abierta a la vida.
You're listening to Latin Radical with Warwick Fry.
And today we're talking with Burke Stansbury from CISBES in Washington. And CISBES is the US-based committee in solidarity with the people of El Salvador.
And he's giving us an update on the latest situation in El Salvador. Hi, Burke.
Hi, Warwick. Thanks for having me on.
Yeah, what's happening?
Well, it's a pretty interesting time right now in El Salvador. I actually just returned from a two-week delegation there, and we were looking into the situation ahead of the 2009 elections. There's going to be elections for mayors and the National Assembly in March or in January of 2009, and then for the presidency in March of 2009. So we were there to look into the situation and specifically the possibility of violence leading up to the elections. Already a number of people, leaders from the left FMLN party have been killed in recent times, as well as other activists and movement organizers. Which is very concerning. So we were there to investigate a little bit the human rights situation, but we were also there to check into the possibilities that the U.S. government will once again intervene in the elections like they did in 2004, the State Department stepping in a way that effectively changed the results pretty drastically, created a lot of fear, you know, fed the dirty campaign of the right wing and helped to defeat the FMLN at that time. So right now in El Salvador, there's a lot of excitement about the possibility of a real change come 2009 with these elections. The FMLN is ahead in the polls by as much as 20 points in some polls, and people really believe that if there isn't U.S. intervention, that if the fear created through some of the political violence that's going on if people can manage to counter that, as well as possibilities of fraud by the right wing, that finally the FMLN, the left, will triumph in 2009.
Just how real is this, or what kind of intervention? Can you sort of elaborate on that a bit?
Well, the way it played out in 2004 was that officials from the State Department either traveled to El Salvador or made public statements in the U.S. Denouncing, condemning the FMLN party, and putting in doubt the future relations between the U.S. and El Salvador should the FMLN win. And in particular, Roger Noriega, who was the subsecretary of state at that time, as well as Otto Reich, who was one of Bush's special envoys, made these statements, as well as the ambassador, Rose Likens, at that time. So all sorts of statements happened. And a bunch of these people, you may recognize the names from the Cold War and people who were involved back in Reagan's administration when the FMLN was considered a terrorist group, and they sort of continued that rhetoric of the threat of these communist terrorists that if they take power, it's going to be big problems for the U.S.
So the U.S., like the ambassador and everyone, they seem to be openly taking sides, as they, well, they always have, but in the 21st century, this is extraordinary.
Right. No, the intervention, the open military intervention that happened in the 80s sort of has shifted to this more political realm, as well as the economic intervention of free trade and everything. But that's the way it's played out, and it played out really intensely in 2004. The other big thing that happened is that a congressman, Tom Tancredo, a right-wing congressman here in the U.S., raised the threat that if the FMLN were to win, he and others would introduce legislation which would cut off the remittances, the money sent back by Salvadorans living in the U.S., which is, you know, almost a quarter of the overall Salvadoran population lives here in the U.S., and so the idea that money would be cut off should the FMLN win, which is what Tancredo put forward, created a huge threat for people and created a lot of fear in El Salvador in the days before the 2004 elections. And at that time, the U.S. Embassy did nothing to counter those threats, which were clearly lies and clearly that that never could have happened, that, that such legislation would actually be approved.
Yeah.
So to update a little bit, to bring it up to the present moment right now, we sat down with the U.S. ambassador while we were there 3 weeks ago and explained all this to him and put forward that we are going to be watching very closely and doing all we can to counter any such intervention this time around. And said that there were already signs of intervention, and in fact the current ambassador, his name is Charles Glaser, has backed up some of the right wing's the big tactic this time is to tie the FMLN to the FARC, the revolutionary guerrilla force, and so they've found this. You know, you may, your listeners may know about the magic laptop, which also supposedly ties the FARC to Hugo Chavez in Venezuela and Rafael Correa. Well, now there seems to be files in there that show that the FMLN has direct ties to the FARC, and so that's been all over the right wing papers in El Salvador. And in steps the ambassador saying that the U.S. Would be very concerned about any group that would maintain relations with the FARC. So another form, without, you know, and there's no proof that that this is, you know, it's all sort of a tabloid smear once again on the FMLN. But the ambassador is playing into that. So we told him that. We said this, we believe this to be another, you know, perhaps more subtle and indirect form of intervention, but still intervention on behalf of the United States. And he disagreed very strongly with us. But in that meeting, what was really interesting is that for the first time, he and thereby the, or therefore the State Department actually admitted to the type of intervention that happened in 2004, which I described before. So we asked him point blank, did the U.S. government intervene on behalf of the right wing Arena Party in 2004? And he said yes. And that was a pretty big, a big thing for him to admit. And we then asked, will that happen again? And he said no. And so the work of the next month is going to be to really make sure that that is in fact the case, because we don't really believe that, despite his promise to us, and we're going to have to do a lot here to keep the pressure on to prevent that kind of intervention happening.
That admission of an intervention in 2004 elections is, you know, I mean, it's potentially a big story. I'm just wondering, is there going to be any difference, you know, with the sort of like Bush on the way out and possibly someone like Obama being elected as president? Is can you see any change there, or is it just going to be a, you know, same old, same old?
That's a great question. It's something we're thinking a lot about right now. First of all, I mean, it was a big admission, and we put out a press release last week, basically saying what the ambassador said and talking about how CISPUS will hold him to his promise. But the interesting thing is that the first round of the elections, the municipal and legislative elections, actually happened 2 days before the inauguration of a new president in the U.S. So the inauguration, I think, is on January 21st of 2009. The first round of elections in El Salvador happened a few days before that. The presidential elections, however, happen after the inauguration, and so there's the potential that Obama will have been elected at that point, and for the last 2 months of the campaign, we'll have a new administration. So, I mean, a couple of things there. One is that there's, you know, some of the damage could have already been done by that point. If the Bush administration decides to intervene in the way they did last time, in a way that creates fear in the Salvadoran people, that could be happening over the next 6 months, right up. And of course, Bush will be a lame duck from November until January, so he really has no one to hold him accountable at that point. So there could be really, they could have free rein to sort of intervene right up until the inauguration. But I guess, you know, we're also worried that, you know, what we've seen from Obama so far has been pretty questionable in terms of how he's talked about Latin America. He made a speech in Miami shortly after he secured the nomination, or secured the nomination of the Democratic Party, and in which he called Hugo Chavez a dictator and said he would maintain the embargo on Cuba. And so all of these things raise doubts as to whether Obama is really going to make a fundamental change in the policy of the United States towards Latin America. So we're also going to have to keep doing a lot of work, regardless of who's elected in November 2008. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it sounds like it could be pretty volatile, and you did mention earlier the arena and the right wing is ramping up its tactics.
Yeah, no, that's true, and they have a lot of tactics in their repertoire, and so, you know, the FARC connection right now is certainly one of the things they're turning to, and you know, the Arena Party, these are not just the political right wing leaders, but they're the business leaders of El Salvador, the business elite. Yeah. They have a lot of money, and they're going to throw a lot of money into this campaign, and it's just beginning now, and they'll outspend the FMLN 10-1, if not more.
Yeah, this is something I really want to ask you, Burke. The media there, does the FMLN have a media outlet? Is the media there, the newspapers and the radio, dominated, and the television, I guess, which is less important, I guess, in the rural areas? But how does the media work there? Does the business class sort of dominate it, and does the FMLN, the opposition party, have any expression?
Yeah, I mean, that's a key question, and unfortunately, the answer is yes. The right wing dominates the media in El Salvador, probably as much as anywhere that I've ever been in Latin America. The two major newspapers are both controlled by the right wing. They pretty much put forward the line of the Arena Party. They're constantly attacking the FMLN. I mean, one of them is so over the top, it's almost laughable. But nevertheless, this is how most people get their media. The television is even worse, and a lot of people do get their news through the television. You know, when you go out in Salvador during lunchtime, everyone's watching the midday news, and certainly the perspective there is also very much in line with the right wing party. And then the one place there's really actually some space is on the radio airwaves.
Okay.
There's a network of community radio stations and other sort of left or progressive stations that put forward a much different perspective of what's going on in El Salvador. And there's also one smaller newspaper called the Colatino that published an article about our delegation last week and about the U.S. intervention that's really quite good, but it doesn't have the circulation of the major newspapers. Mm. So that's one of the big challenges the FMLN has in winning is that the media really is controlled by the right wing.
Mm. All right. Well, thanks very much for talking to us, Burke. Is there any chance you can sort of give us a weekly or a bi-weekly bulletin on what's going on over there?
Yeah, I'd be happy to. We're, like I said, we're going to be watching this situation really closely. We're excited about the possible triumph of the left in El Salvador, and we're gonna be keeping up on it, and so I'd be happy to keep checking in with you.
That'd be great. And do you feel that there is a real chance for the FMLN to win the elections next year?
No doubt about it. I mean, they're ahead by 20 points in the polls right now. The candidate is charismatic. You know, the campaign is only beginning, and all these challenges that I've laid out are present there. But there's also a really big shift going on in Latin America, and I think the conditions are ripe for change in El Salvador too. And so that's what gives people so much hope right now.
Yeah. Well, it gives us heart too. Thank you.